It is 6:30 p.m. We're going to start this meeting. It's for the Land and Natural Resource Cultural Preservation Committee on January 19th. I'm going to ask an invocation from Mitch. Get that, please.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Next we have is a roll call. Thomas Yehola has been excused for tonight's meeting.
Daryl Proctor.
Here.
Mike Randolph.
Present.
Dale Beaver.
Here.
Thomas Yehola. Mitch Jack.
Yeah.
Chairman, I got four present, one absent.
We have four present, one absent. That does constitute a quorum. Any business transaction that will be valid. Next is approval of minutes for December 8th, 2015, December 16th, 2015, December 21, 2015, and January 5th of 2016. I'll give the committee time to review those. We'll call for a motion. Motion been made to accept the minutes. You need any corrections by Mitch and seconded by Mark. Roll call, please.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Dale Beaver.
Abstain.
Chairman, I got two in favor, zero against, one abstain.
All right, two in favor, zero against, one abstention. Will that does pass. The next order of business is TR-16. I'm going to turn the chair over to our Vice Chair, Mark Randolph.
TR-16-002, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation approving reproduction policy for the Muscogee Creek Nation Cultural Center and Archives Department, sponsored by Dale Proctor. Entertain a motion.
Motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass.
Second
by Mitch Jack. Discussion?
Yes. There you go.
I think y'all apologize for my coaching apparel. Cross high school cross season has started already, so I'm just going back. So thank you again for this evening. We're here specifically to talk about our Museum and Cultural Center department, specifically to our collections care management. And we have Veronica Clapsom, our collections manager, who's going to go into the intricacies of what this is about. And just on a general sense, this is pertaining to some of our archival material, specifically to photographic material, but really kind of, again, making progress in our department to make things standardized and meeting the national standards of museums collections and how things are used, reproduced, not only for researching or scholarly public, but for the general public and for our citizens as well. So with that, I know it's a Veronica.
This, I think you're getting me a copy of the amended one. It got brought over kind of at the last minute. And the only change in the that one from the previous one is this last paragraph in the policy that just states that it's right before that signature line right there, the big X in the boxes. The only thing that was changed is that we may modify the fees requested on the corresponding pricing sheets as needed, and modify any of the attached forms to the policy, which are all the things behind that signature line right there. Sorry, there's no pages on this. These are more procedural items than they are really policy. It's just an invoice and permission and that sort of thing. When researchers, someone comes to us and requests an image, this is just kind of the basic stuff we usually ask for. That's the only big change, but the rest of the policy is pretty standard. This has come to our attention that this is necessary. We did have, I think, in December or November, we came before you with a publishing request for a book on Milwaukee history. And just to make this process more efficient, we do have other pending image requests right now from different people. Some of them are for private use at this point. Those are the only ones we have right now for private use, but we do need to be able to stipulate what people can and cannot do with the images that are property of the Muskogee Creek Nation. So that's kind of where this came from.
So on these, biggest change you're saying is just the price, or what you can come up with for anybody asking for any public or
permission
to.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
This part is the actual policy.
And this is always, or has been in place? Or is all this new?
This is new.
Okay.
This is new. And then the attached forms behind it are more forms than they are policy. So they're more procedural. They're just information finding when someone makes an image request. This is what I would send to them. What do they want? What kind of format do they want it in? And it, in terms of ease for us changing our workflow or making changes to these forms, that's why we were asked, we put that little paragraph in the back that says we may change these forms needed, but this would be the policy that would stay.
Okay, okay, all right.
Yes, and to be clear, yeah, these are now something that we've been able to create since our department has been progressing and then hiring staff and personnel with the experience, like Veronica, dealing with collection-specific inquiries in any situations that come up.
Any questions?
Yes.
Has this gone before the general?
I didn't see that.
No problems with it.
Yeah, that's who just finished making that second amendment, but they've seen it before. Okay.
So, if like the chronic web use says, or unauthorized use, says any unauthorized use by any person or entity, applicant responsible and liable to the MCNCCA. Mm-hmm. So, what if they do something that's unauthorized? I mean, then. Are y'all responsible for going after them, or the tribe responsible?
There's a real-time scenario right now. We're dealing with that specifically. This dealt with a individual photographer, in a sense. This is back when the Museum Association was running the council house and overseeing a collection, which now we own and oversee. She went into that exhibit inside the council house and took pictures of the actual displays there and actually an image of some of our baskets. And we're actually in the process of loaning out baskets, and Veronica, doing her due diligence, was doing a web search to see what else she could find about her basket. This lady had put up and actually gone through
Getty Images.
Getty
which is
Images.
A big image retailer. So she's
and
selling them. Online.
She's selling them on her own, essentially almost like a Paycom or a PayPal type of thing, as her own image that she can use to sell for whatever the case may be. But that, of course, that has legal issues and copyright issues since we own that object and something that they cannot be using without any sort of agreement. That we're putting in place here now.
So we can't do anything until this agreement's in place, or?
That's the big question. We're trying to keep anything like that from happening because that probably was when the city owned the building and we're using it. We're going to kind of seek recourse for that on a case-by-case basis. I think that's something else we're going to, we have to gather more research, take pictures of the photos and all that stuff.
So just for instance, say she did it after she signed this, what would happen? What would the first thing y'all would do?
We just have more of a backbone to back it up to say, hey, this is also not only a departmental policy, but also a nation policy that you can't just, it's almost like using the Creek Nation seal.
We could issue a cease and desist order or ask her for any sort of documentation, either from the Council House Museum Association and the city owned it that said she could do that and sell them. And if not, then we would ask her to take them down. And if not, then we could possibly take her to court for that, for copyright infringement. So.
Any more discussion?
Sorry about that. He's a chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yes, my permission.
I do have one more question. Go ahead, Jeremy. The money, where's it going to? Is it going back in the treasury, or do you all have your own separate line item?
We were just talking about that.
We do have a revolving fund that's set up in our department that would also be a way for us to be either set up as a 501 nonprofit, but also to receive donations, monetary donations of that sort. So this, again, would be a budget line that's under our purview to go ahead and use for, I don't know, to accentuate any other cultural programs, whatever the case may be. If we need some more material, that's something we'd go into.
Yeah, I think at this point it would go back to the general fund until there's a statutory authority to utilize those funds to go back into that revolving fund. The revolving fund has the ability to take in funds and very specific purposes, but I'd have to ask Kevin, we can do some research, but I think it, just from an accounting standpoint, until the, you know, later on, if the amount of money coming in is fairly significant, then we'll be help to, you know, help the department in some way. We'll look at it then, but I think it's going to be a fairly nominal amount at this point. If, you know, the
right.
authority is for it just to go back into the general fund.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Proctor?
Okay. I don't believe I have. Think this passes, so we can have this in our. Put it in there with it, so everybody would see that before we get on the floor with it.
Ms. McClain?
Oh, I was going to say, I got a copy of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And just, if anything comes, we need extra copies for the file folder. Like but I took his, so okay, good.
No, bitch.
So I got an extra one.
With the other attachments, just that policy, right?
No, just that little blurb.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no more discussion. Roll call vote, please.
Daryl Proctor?
Yes.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
Thank you. All right, I'll turn back to Mr. Proctor.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Mark. Next item we have is TR-16-003, a tribal resolution of Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a Niagara plan of action with the Pea Ridge National Military Park for the treatment and disposition of Native American human skeletal remains associated with funerary objects, objects of cultural patrimony, and sacred objects discovered at the Pea Ridge National Military Park. Sponsor is Mitch Jack.
Make a motion for a due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Mitch, seconded by Mark. Discussion?
Yes, I've called Ms. John Jacobs up.
Hello.
Hello there.
I'll get some map for you all. We were notified by Pea Ridge that they were going to be doing some archaeological testing at this park. There's a little map kind of showing these locations. Let's see here. There's some more. This is just in the Ruddock Fields area. Pea Ridge is up in Benton County, and it's not part of our removal route, but it is an area that once we looked into, we did have about 200 creek regimen that went up there to participate. From our research, it looks like there's not a lot written about them. Here you go. And it looks like maybe they showed up maybe a day late for some of the fighting. But because of they were in the area and they may have been part of some of that, we wanted to make for sure that there was an active plan of action in place in case once they do start doing some excavation later on, they're going to be doing some geophysical work to start with. If remains are ever encountered, they would then contact us, the Cherokee Nation, the other tribes that are a part of the plan of action to help mitigate that out and get those reburied. So.
Any questions? No questions? Roll call vote.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Mark Randall?
Yes.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman, 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Thank you.
Next item we have is TR-16-004, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a memorandum of agreement with the city of Eufaula for the Eufaula Walking Trail Project. Sponsor is Ms. Jack.
Make a motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Mitch. Seconded by Dale Beaver. We're in discussion. Anybody have any questions?
Am I with the city of Eufaula?
No, I'm a transportation engineer for Creek Nation.
Okay.
I'm sitting in for Charlie Lesarge tonight.
All right. I have a question.
Yes.
Is this
new, or has this been ongoing? Or
we had to get an environmental assessment approved, and that took some time. And this is also being built in an area owned by the Corps of Engineers that they're leasing to the city of Eufaula. And so we had to get Corps approval on plans, and it took some time to get their approval. There were, as part of the environmental assessment process, we had an archaeologist go out there, and the Corps of Engineers had our archaeologists go out three more times and do three more studies. So it took a significant amount of time. We've been at this for probably a year, year and a half, trying to get all the hurdles cleared with the Corps.
The money. The money. Do y'all have the money already, or?
Yeah, it's federal highway funds. Okay. Yes, sir.
One more question. Yes. It says the nation will reimburse the city for all reasonable and agreed upon costs. So is that the $201,000, or is that on top of the
$201,000?
So there could be more of a cost?
What we do is, since the city has the lease on the land, if there had been any pre-construction activities, there are certain activities that would be their responsibility, and we would reimburse the city. As it turns out, they did not incur any pre-construction costs. There's a possibility that they could have, but they didn't. So, but we always put that in there in case it does arise.
Okay.
But this $201,960 is my engineer's estimate for the construction costs.
Any more questions? Kevin, you've gone through this.
Yes, sir.
This come from your office, I guess.
Yes, sir.
And it's all basically the
same. It's similar to the other MOAs approved in the past, and there aren't any legal issues with it. We bring it before council because it's with another government, under the Constitution. The council has to approve those types of agreements, so that's why it's before you.
Okay. What's the timeline on beginning and completion of this?
We hope to do construction this spring.
Okay.
And it's a 90-day construction period.
Okay. Any more questions? No more questions. Roll call vote.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Mark Randall.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Chairman, got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next item we have is NCA 16-001, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of the United States Department of Transportation Federal Transit Administration 2014 and 2015 discretionary grant funds and Muscogee Creek Nation Tribal Transportation Transit Program income and Muscogee Creek Nation Tribal Transportation Chartered Program income for the purchase of 314 passenger CNG buses for the Muscogee Creek Nation Transit Program, and our sponsor is Dale Beaver.
Make a motion to do pass.
Motion for do pass by Dale. Seconded by Ms. Jack. We're in discussion now. I believe that's you.
Yes, sir.
You can let us know what you have here. And,
okay. Creek Nation Transit Program received a grant from the FTA, and it allows us to purchase these CNG buses. Let's see, yeah, the grant is for $216,975.
Mm-hmm.
As part of the grant, we do have to provide the match. And so our transit program does generate revenue, income from fares, as well as our charter bus service generates income from fares. And so we're going to use some of the funds from those budget lines to provide the match.
That looks like it's $62,000.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions? Yes, go ahead.
These buses are CNG?
Yes, sir.
Do we have CNG stations around here yet?
Well, we know that the Travel Plaza is wanting to provide CNG service, and so that's why we sought these buses. So we'll be able to purchase the fuel from Creek Nation. It'll be a win-win situation.
I just want to say, I know there's an outlay of time associated with actually getting the buses, because they're going to be specially made, isn't that correct?
I believe so, sir.
So there's going to be some lag time associated with actually having the buses on the inventory. I believe Charlie, when they wrote the grant, there was a lot of speculation that the CNG site that went up north was going to be in this area, possibly our own location. There is a CNG location on the south end of town, which is by the old ONG mm-hmm. building. It's very local. I'm not exactly, I haven't talked to Charlie about what their routes are going to be, but there are other CNG sites, but I'm sure they'll be utilizing our CNG site north of the as well. So just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. David?
That's what I was going to say. There's one in Sound, there's one in Sepulpa, 71st, around 75, Muskogee, and there's one in Okemetic.
Not all ours, though.
Mm, not yet.
That's what we're waiting on. Okay. Yes.
Don't these CNG buses, don't they have an alternative fuel source too, or not?
I believe these are dedicated CNG buses.
Yeah.
I'm more involved in the roads, but I do believe that these are dedicated.
Are these handicap accessible also?
I believe they are.
Yes.
The bus company brought some mm-hmm. by for us to view.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, they did have some handicap.
Yes, I had a
drop down ramp.
Okay.
I asked Charlie, and he said that it has to be for the transit program.
Okay. Required for that. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
They did have a grant a couple years ago where you can, you know how you got a gas tank or a diesel tank? Mm-hmm. You can also do one for a tank for CNG if you get your own compressor. And it'll be something just for safety. But once you run out of gas, you can't stop for that, you know.
Says the voice of experience.
Yeah. All right. Any more discussion? No more discussion. Roll call vote.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Mark Randall.
Yes.
Chairman, got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, I'm turning back over to Mark Randall.
NCA 16002, law of the Muskogee Creek Nation amended NCA 15-270, law of the Muskogee Creek Nation appropriating funds to be used toward the purchase of real property located in McIntosh County, Oklahoma, sponsors Gerald Proctor.
Yes, a motion for a due pass.
Motion for a due pass. We have a second.
I'll second.
Second by Representative Beaver. Discussion?
Yes, this legislation is for to amend to reflect the correct funding source, and it's in Section 3. Is it a...
I think the acting controller mm-hmm. requested that this be done.
Okay.
Last month, the acting controller then gave us,
It's from capital improvement to economic development right. and land acquisition. So basically it's just changing, amending to funding sources.
Okay. Chairman. I know this was already approved for the purchase of the property. There's $45,000 purchased and $15,000 for the for other things. I just got a kind of a concern. Usually, you do the environmental assessment, the all those things, the all those studies before you purchase the land. And so I'm wondering, is that what we're going to do? We're going to use that $15,000 before we actually use the $45,000 to purchase the land, because we can get into quite a pickle if we purchase the land and then we find out, hey, this land isn't worth anything. There's a house on the land. I mean, there is a house on the land, right? There's a structure on the land. We don't know how old that house is. It could cost us more than $45,000 to tear it down. There could be asbestos issues with the house. And so I'm just wondering, what's the process for this piece of land? I just hate to jump into something and then all of a sudden it's cost us twice as much to get it. Whatever we're going to do with it. What is the actual plan for this piece of property?
Very good, thank you.
Mm-hmm. If I could, I'll just clarify the situation. The contract was actually written by Mr. LeCrone in the Secretary of the Interior's office, and I guess would be prior to the transition. He basically utilized an old contract that actually I don't think the Attorney General's office doesn't even really utilize any longer. And that's how the contractual proceedings began. It was all done through that office. It actually had not been really vetted out through the Attorney General's office. I didn't take the complete package to the Attorney General's office. Now, it's not too far gone, but we have a situation where the contract, and I've talked to Kevin several times over this issue, the contract does allow for us to have kind of an escape clause. If we get in there, we do the environmental, which was a walkthrough environmental, but not a full environmental. Usually we do the appraisals ahead of time. I think that the value, just on the face value, it looks like it's a pretty good deal. We don't know, but we can definitely utilize the funds that are being appropriated to finish the appraisal and then also do the title opinion. And so if there's a clouded title, if there's an environmental issue, any of those things that come about, Mr. Dillinger had assured me that there would be a way out for the nation in terms of if we do not own this property. With that said, it is 10 acres. It does adjoin the Falls Dorm property. I think the property was in being held by the bank. It had been foreclosed upon. There was, I guess, some time issues associated with us, jumping on this, and so that other people, weren't going to try to buy the 10 acres out from underneath us. There is a structure, and I talked to Mr. Jones, Adam Jones, indicating that the structure would probably need to be torn down, so there will be costs associated with that. But I just want to be completely open and transparent about all the information. And that's basically where we're at. Kevin, did I leave anything on that?
No, I don't think so. I think, Mr. Beaver, if you're worried about us going to closing before, we'll make sure all those things are done. We'll have to rely on environmental to get the environmental done up front. There is a clause in there that says that can be no hazardous materials on the property. It's got to be our intended use has to be. We have to be able to use it for our intended use. I think it's real broad though. I think the intended use is just building and probably will add on to the dormitory or something, I would assume. But I think there is language in there to protect us. We're not going to be closing until we have a title opinion done as well, and that's what that $15,000 is for. Title opinion probably won't cost us more than $300, but we'll have all those things done before we even get to closing, so we will not go to closing without having the environmental. I think we'll probably get an appraisal done just so we know, but I assume usually when a bank forecloses, they're just wanting what they're out. That isn't always the appraised value of how you can't be more. So, but we'll check all those things before we get to closing to make sure the nation's protected.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Anything else? Mr. Jack?
What was we going to do with it once we purchase this? What's going to be built there, or what? How do we utilize it?
I'm not speaking with Mr. Jones about the intended use. I think it's just adding to the nation's land base and adjoining
the
I think more of a strategic location. I've not spoken with him about the intended use. I think it's more perceived as a good deal for the property, and it joins our land base. So just adding to our land base in that area. other than that, I don't know, maybe agriculture or maybe or something, I'm not sure.
Because the reason why I'm asking is because we do have a lot of land that's just sitting there not being utilized.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have spent quite a bit on it, mm-hmm. and it's just sitting there not utilized. So I guess that's fake land, I guess, I don't know. You know, that's why I'm asking.
Right.
So, okay. Thank you.
Proctor?
Yes. He was a sponsor of this original bill. And
here's how it came to us. The loan officer, my loan officer at the bank, he mentioned, he said, hey, I've got 10 acres and a house down there that they foreclosed on. Would Creek Nation be interested in purchasing that land? So we can ask and find out. I think it's a good deal. Think about it, the original appraisal was $200,000 for the 10 acres and the house. But what they wrote off, this doesn't even compare what they wrote off. Who cares? It just means that we got that for appraised value of less than just for the land. Now, also what's setting on there is a brand new school of, which would be the nation's as well, of
fiber optic
casing. It's 8,000 feet of that, which, you know, it's probably worth $10,000-$12,000 by itself. I don't know. We can check and see what it is. There's a box on there. There's all kinds of different things on there that becomes the nation's as well. But, you know, what you choose to do with it, if you choose not to do anything with it, I mean, we could just say we choose not to. I mean, that's the intent was we would give more land base to the dormitory because there's as much land there as we have over in our Creek housing on the other side of the road. So if you chose to build houses back there, you could. But you couldn't farm on it for sure, I don't believe.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I know, obviously. but that's it was just so close to the dorm, it adjoined our land. So anything in town like that, you can get it for that price. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Proctor.
You know, we have a cell tower there that's right on the dorm land area there. Mm-hmm. You know, and that could be utilized for something like that, or even a billboard or something, because it's, you know, next to 69 or something like that. You know, I mean, that way we have it. We want, you know, and it's right next to ours. So hopefully we can, you know, find a good way to use it.
And that's why I was asking, mm-hmm. because I mean, we've got so much land out there that's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Purchase, you know. So I mean, if it's going to be utilized, y'all yeah. all for it. But if we're just going to pay all this much money and just sit there and not do nothing, you know. So thank you.
More discussion? Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Daryl Proctor?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
Thank you. I'll turn the chair back to Mr. Proctor.
All right. Thank you, Deb. Mark, next item we have is NCA 16-008, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of funds awarded from a Native American Graves and Repatriation Act grant to the Muscogee Creek Nation Cultural Preservation Department. Sponsor is Dale Beaver.
Motion due pass.
We have a motion for due pass by Dale.
Second.
Seconded by Mitch. We're in discussion.
Jacobs.
Back in 2013 in the spring, the Cultural Preservation Department received a repatriation grant for a reburial down concerning the Natchez Parkway and some human remains and funerary objects associated with Gordon Mounds and Emerald Mounds. And they received the grant for $3,050. They went out and did the reburial at that time. Unfortunately, the step wasn't taken at that time to retrieve those grants off of grants.gov, and just recently it got brought to our attention that those funds were still up there, so the department didn't get reimbursed for it. So we have a few reburials and repatriations coming on board this year, and we'd like to go ahead and utilize those funds and be able to draw those down to use them.
Any questions? No questions. Roll call vote.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Mark Randall?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor and 0 against. That motion passes.
Thank you, sir.
All right, now we're in another business. any other business? So we're down to announcements. Yes,
sir. We lost one of our employees Saturday morning. She worked in the employment training, Donnie Deceivers, and tonight they're having a wake service for her at Okemah Parks from 6 to 8. And then the funeral is going to be tomorrow at
High Springs
Church
at 2 p.m.,
which is located just north of the casino, about 2 miles on Highway 27 on the right-hand side.
South.
My bad.
Any other announcements?
Just whenever you're ready, you know, me and Chief can find a few minutes every time.
Yes, we'll give you that. I'll allow you that. It's okay with the committee. Okay.
Come on, Chief.
This little thing we want to throw out here. Several years ago, I had worked at a church due to grant, in which everyone knows the churches and the ceremony lines get taken advantage of. And I had talked to an individual a while back, like I said, about 3 years ago, and the previous executive branch was going to pursue it on their own, which it didn't happen. And I talked to the second chief about it. The possibility of doing a liaison between the churches and ground, say, when they get to grant. Another thought was job description. And I did have Robin pull up the last, and there was nothing funding. But someone that was knowledgeable, speak the language, being basically an interpreter, and kind of worked with construction, anything with the grant, or the churches or the ground. They understood because they knew the church that I was trying to help. They got taken for about $15,000, so we had to let them go to get someone else to finish it. Gage said there's probably 90-plus, 92, 94 churches. There are 16 grounds. And I had Robin to pull up what was actually used because, I'm just throwing this out there. And also, this comes through y'all's committee. If y'all feel like y'all want to do it, I just assume if y'all want to sponsor it, it's up to y'all. If it's possible, since this let's say liaison will be working for the ground in churches. 2011, out of the million, there was $425,000 not used. 2012, there was $562 plus not used. $675 in 2013. 2014 was $795. And 2015, $650. And just saying that, I didn't know the possibilities. I talked to Alicia. We've been trying to figure out what to do. As far as job description, is it possible to pay the liaison out of this, which hopefully wouldn't affect anything because you can see how much was left. Part-time, full-time, what the job description, what they would do. We both agreed. You almost have to have a liaison. But again, job description, is it full-time, part-time? So I'm just, getting what y'all's thoughts were. And also, if we do pursue this, do we open it up to anyone to apply? If y'all have any thoughts as well.
So the liaison would be between the churches, the grounds, and the tribe, or us, or?
What I was thinking, like the church, I assist in the office church, which is, you're all fluent. Mm-hmm. They truly understand. I have to do the application, and got a construction, which is Creek Citizen, mm-hmm. taking advantage of. So we have to an individual goal, but someone to work in between, because they truly didn't understand. There's a lot of churches that one, and they're just going to take it, they're just going to go with it. But if you had this liaison that could speak real knowledgeable, everything, speak the language, in which, you know, the last meeting, you basically had to talk to everyone and talk to her. To someone that can basically watch the construction that's going up, any issues, maybe they can, you know, I even talked to James Aldrich out of construction. He thought that was a good idea, too, possibly going underneath construction, since it deals with that forest ground and the churches. But it's just an idea. I mean, it's just something.
Yes, go ahead.
The thing that always concerns me is you can look at the history of this grant and see how much was utilized, but this grant's going to stagger. Mm-hmm. Every 10 years, people are able to come back and ask for $50,000. So when you look at when this grant was implemented, people are going to come in the next couple of years and they might need a lot of money again. It's not like we can just look at this, you know, how much is used and say, oh, well, we're not using it. And we are looking at the camp houses. I think it sounds good what you're saying, but I and I don't want to sound stingy, but I'm just concerned with that money.
Well, that was our concern too. I mean, we're trying without having to
put because up then you're looking at this person you're going to hire, then you're looking at their fringe benefits, you know, and all that's going to turn into what, $100,000 that could be going toward the grounds and the churches. I mean, and I think like we had discussed at one time with the prior attorney general, we wanted some type of mock contract that all the communities could use. So that way, when they enter into a contract with somebody, that they, if something goes wrong in the first year or two, that they come back and fix it. That's the biggest thing we keep seeing is them getting burned by these people that come in and do service for them, and as soon as they get their building up, then their sewer backs up, or something goes wrong, and then they don't want to come back in and fix it. And, you know, I think there's ways to do that, you know, and in helping people fill out applications. I mean, even if they were to come here, and I'm not trying to shoot it down, I'm just thinking about the money. I think there's things and there's needs that we can find that we can pay right to them without putting someone in the middle. They're going to start funneling out the money. That's just my thought. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with both of y'all. And I think there is one that's needed. But, and you're going to have a lot of people, the Hagen too.
Yeah,
you know, about the churches in San Monica, it's just like, well, we had a representative try to do something like this, and everybody started to hate it because they thought they was taking funds from them. I wouldn't mind, and again, I'm just throwing this out there, setting up a MECOS meeting and then try to get all the churches together and hear their thoughts on it.
Well, that's what we had discussed, too, and that's what Thanksgiving's going to get with the chief. And usually they have a meeting with me.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get, you know, how
yeah.
we always kind of kept him separate, let them take care of their own. But, and that was one of them because he was actually at one of the grounds where they were doing construction. Mm-hmm. And there was beer cans and arbors and everything. And that was one of the issues come up. If somebody was there, they could have stopped the contractor from doing that. And that, you know, that's where this all comes about. You know, like I said, it's just an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing it out there.
Sure, because then you can think and you think about the grounds and the churches and the membership that's there. Maybe somebody from there should go out there when somebody's working.
Well, you know. You would think. But, you know, a lot of times the traditional, you know, they just don't want it. You know. It was hard. I mean, even when I was helping Bianca, I probably done the most talking. Trying to get all the contract and make sure they're coming back, because I was calling him at least once or twice a week. And that's just a lot of it, just, you know, they don't want to feel like they want to bother anybody. And that's why I just don't want anyone taking advantage mm-hmm. of the churches and grounds anymore. But like I said, that's, we're just, you know, being second chief, just throwing it out there, see what y'all think.
Is there a way that we can find out the amount of special appropriations that has been given out to the churches and the ceremonial grounds, maybe in the past 2-3 years?
Well, like I said, it's not going to be 100. I mean, like I said, even part-time, full-time, I mean, that's, I don't want to say that's my call. I mean, I'm just bringing the idea out to y'all.
Is that for the grant or special appropriation?
Yeah, a million.
I mean, is that for the grant or special appropriation? Because I have an amount for special appropriations for fiscal year 2015 for ceremonial grounds and churches that I was just working on. But I don't know that I can go look real quick if you want me to.
Well, that's what I was trying to compare the amount of special appropriations to the amount of what we're going to pay the liaison, you know, for, and see if how much it, the difference, you know, because I said, there's a lot of special appropriations to go to these churches and ceremonial grounds during a year's time, and I didn't know if that would kind of offset that cost too. So,
Chairman, what year was the grant implemented? What's
I believe it is
my time.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when it was.
Chief, what I was saying earlier is like, you know, some of the churches come up for the grounds and you can get $0 to $50,000. Some just take a little bit of time, you know. But then there's going to be a time like, you know, in the 10 years, if we had, you know, 50,000, if we had 20 churches come up to renew their grant because their time and space, and we had 20 churches come up wanting $50,000, there's $1 million right there. I mean, I'm not saying that will happen, but what if it did? You know, because that's what that grant specified for. There's a certain time, you know, you can come back and use it. And you know, not all of them do, but some of them do. They get the full amount, and then they wait 10 years, and then they come back and they get the full amount again. And then some just chip away at it little by little. So that's why I'm saying it's hard to go back and look at what we've used, because we don't know what's going to happen this year. Mm-hmm. We don't know how many people are going to come up, you know. And then if we do the camp house, when we was going to, you know, talking about Frank had that bill, that was $2,000. And then they were, you know, how many camps do you have at the grounds? You know, and then the camps at the churches, you know, how much is that going to run? And then we had talked about taking the heating and propane from this $1 million also, you know, which is another, you know, probably 50, 60, 70,000. I'm just afraid we cut it close. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I think it was 2006 or 2007 when we raised it to 50,000. So that means next fiscal year is when some churches will be eligible for that 50,000 again.
And not all of them.
Because it was right after I think I started. I remember working on it, you know, amending that legislation. So, yeah, it was 2006, 2007.
Okay.
And that was, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That was one of the things I didn't get with the Gazy on was, I mean, do you have a list of all the ones, you know, 2, 4, 5, 10 years that apply? That way we could see, and that's one thing I haven't got with her yet, just to actually get a true head count of how many churches may, they're still within their 10 years, so this year they wouldn't. But
you gave us a list of that, right? We've got a list, or she has one. But she can go ahead.
I do think it's a good idea, though. I mean, if we were able to do that and it was feasible, and, you know, whether it was part-time, full-time, I don't see how they could, you know, utilize their time full-time, you know.
Well, that's what we was, you know, we kind of went through everything, you know what I mean, but that was one consideration. Do you have enough job, enough work for that individual, part-time or full-time? You know, that's...
Some months we don't get no applications for the grant, so we can go months without.
You know, you're talking about an inspector, same as liaison, but there would be a spot where they are full time because you need them to be on site to see that they're doing everything correctly, you know, on the build, because they may be out there at least once a day, maybe not all day long, but, you know, throughout to see that there's an inspector for quality control. You know, because if you don't have that, that's where we're lacking it, because they're just, you know, doing poor workmanship. And then once they spend it, and it's gone, and we're having to come back to the council for more money, you know, that's where you're missing is the inspector being on site to see what they're doing. And that works in housing, too, you know. I mean, that's throughout roads, you know, sometimes we need somebody, a QC guy on site, to make sure we're getting the best, you know, bang for a buck.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, the nation is very robust, and we have a ton of employees, and not everybody is utilized to the full 60, and I think we could look at the organizational structure and see with zero administrative costs, if we could put the onus of this responsibility on somebody that's already on staff. Several years ago, we created a post-grad program at the district court, and we created that program. I think it was funded through the council of $400,000. Every dollar that was put in there went to a student, and we received zero administrative costs through the court. It could be a situation like that if we just strategically place it somewhere on the executive side where there is no administrative costs, but all the funds go directly to the benefit of one of the ceremonial grounds with churches. That would be a feasible thing, and I think it'd be some people would probably embrace that opportunity to work with those entities. So that's an opportunity thing we can look at.
All right, thank you, Kelly.
Yes, my question is, how many employees do they have that work for construction that are speakers?
Construction? I don't have a clue.
I mean, because it sounds like whoever it is would need that construction background to know what's going on, but also be a speaker and know the traditional ways, know church ways. Because just because someone knows how to speak to traditional people doesn't mean you know how to speak to church people. And so then my other question, because that to me seems like it would be the logical department for that position to come from, but also we can't even get our stuff together. I mean, there's all kinds of problems with a fussy community center, the servers backing up, the refrigerator don't work, like it's all stuff. So, I mean, is that the department that we want to make sure our churches are going to get work done right? I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be catty. It's just, it sounds simple, but it's not.
That's what me in second tiers. It sounds simple, but we know there's a lot of other stuff that's got to come in play. Even Alicia brought that. I mean, I straight talk, and I talked to James, and James in favor of it, but there's a lot of stuff in between that's got to be worked out. Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It was something that was promised that was never done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for that whole
point. Well, you probably know who it is. Huh? That was mentioned.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Anybody have any other comments? Any more discussion on that?
All I had, that's okay. Where we just come just to throw it out there, see what.
Yeah.
I don't know if we work something out.
Mm-hmm. And that's just something to think about because
yeah.
If we can save one church from being, or anybody from being, you know, having to.
If we had one then, it would save at least 15,000.
Yeah, you know, look what happened with Yardika Church. You know, we spent, I don't know how much, just to get back to where it was needed. I mean,
the money that they had.
A person there could have saved that.
Right.
Go ahead, Dale, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was just thinking that probably with the end of the 10 years, the first 10 years coming to an end, there's going to be another influx of more apps. So maybe that's actually probably a better reason to have somebody like this, because you're going to see more projects coming on board. And whether the money comes out of this or the salary comes out of that, or we can find somebody within the tribe already, I think you don't have to pay them, $55,000. You can pay them $35,000. That's probably about what the average employee makes. If that, I'm probably on the high end, to be honest with you, $35,000. But there'll be more than just going out to job sites. I mean, if there's 92 Indian churches, then part of their job duties could be actually going up to these churches and making sure they know, hey, here's how to fill out the app. Here's how to go about this, the process. Go to the ceremonial grounds, the exact same thing. So you got over 110 different places that he could go to, or she.
The application is not complicated, though. It might be for someone that has there should be somebody from that area that there's, it's not a complicated application. You know what I mean? You see it's very basic. It just says, what do you need? How much do you need? Your address, you know, who to make the check to. It's not, you know, it's not like you go through housing and get this big old thing like that, you know, you got to fill out, you know. It's not, you know, I don't know if y'all looked at the application, but it's not a complicated application. It's not.
It's not, but when you get to the real, I want to say full blood trigger, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's somebody should be around there. I mean, so they've got kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews. Well,
this was one. I mean, even the treasurer, like, I told them, do not pay them the full amount, quarter of it. Make sure their job is done first. But when they come, when the construction comes to them, say, well, I need $10,000 on the paper lumber or stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, what are they going to say? You know, most of them, it's okay. I mean, there's more than just filling out that application. There's a lot more to.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think that's a good reasoning, because of how many people have already filled out that application? How many grounds and how many churches? Most of them. It's been done, you know.
Well, there's still, you'd be surprised, there's still some churches out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're afraid. You know, the last time they came was 2003, and all they got was propane. They never knew that they could do the whole house or the whole church or whatever. $50,000 grant. There's some, I mean, you know, there's still a lot of traditional churches that they're afraid to ask. I don't want to say they're proud, but they're just afraid to ask for help.
All right, yes.
I think, well, go when Mark mentioned the contract they have now, is it just a basic contract for all the churches and stuff? Is it the same contract?
You know, it seems like they all go out on their own and they bring in people, you know, and so I don't even know if they sign a contract.
I think a contract would make a big difference.
I do too.
Yeah.
There's not one.
Well, I think some type of contract should be made up, you know, where it'll cover all those things if something does happen.
Yeah.
You know, then they're responsible for it for so long, they have to come back and do it, because there's a lot of that goes on up there, especially with Indian money and stuff. You know, these contracts, it happens in housing and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad work now, but you know, we got inspectors and stuff, but you know, it still gets by anyway and stuff. And I think if you got a contract that, you know, covers everything, that it would strengthen the thing. So,
all right.
Is that possible, Mr. Gellinger?
Yeah, I think so. I think it could be done. It may be out. Maybe there should even be a requirement, perhaps, for someone doing construction that they offer like when you buy a house, a 1-year warranty that if anything goes bad, then it's covered and taken care of. So that might be an option. So.
And if their work is good, they probably wouldn't have a problem with that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, being that said, like, if I build a house, usually there's always a 1-year warranty with that. But if you bond, like I think one bid was almost $90,000, the bond is like $2,500. It's not very much. And you could have that bond in or force the contractor to get a bond to do that work. And then if they do insufficient work, you know, then you can go to that bond, and that bond will cover the rest. So, I mean, that would do a protection for the church and grounds too. But the contract's a must, though. That's what they need to have, because there's no security without it.
I mean, that's something, and this is purely discussion, so I mean, bring out a lot of good points.
Didn't think y'all had enough to think about, so we
can call this. Thank you. All right, any other announcements? Yes.
All right. March 5th will be Salt Creek's Onion Dinner, our annual Onion Dinner, be at the Holdenville Community Center. Everyone says theirs is the best, but ours really is. Even Rufus said it.
I want to announce for Robert Deere's dad, they're having a wake tomorrow at 7 over at Belvin. And I'll have his funeral Thursday at 10 in the morning.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any other announcements? All right, next is our benediction, which will serve as our adjournment. And Mark, would you give that for us?
Father, we're thankful for this life that you've given us. We're thankful for the breath that we breathe, Lord, and the gifts that you gave us, Lord, for all your blessings, for your love, your mercy, your protection, all your goodness, Lord. We say thank you. Ask that you just continue to guide and direct us. Bless our every thought. Bless our every step. Bless our every breath. We just say all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.